manager at a Planet Fitness accused of filming a man in a tanning booth while he's undressed. And two women from Oklahoma have confessed to the murder of their former roommate after a dispute about food stamps. Plus, after receiving complaints from apartment building neighbors, police discover three body parts in luggage.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Say he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
Hi, welcome to the show. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. So you don't miss any episodes of the show. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. Whatever platform allows you to do that. We greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. Just takes a few seconds. And seriously, every time I see those, I'm like, damn, thank you. Thank you. I wish I could reply. They don't allow you, but I wish I could just say thanks to everyone who does that. So if you could, on Apple Podcasts or wherever, just leave us a nice little review there. Nice would be nice, but be honest. We do greatly appreciate that. Tony and Carol, here's with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
Hey, not too much. Really?
That's not the appropriate answer when you're the co-host on a show.
I can make some shit up.
You just try that again. Tony and Carol, here's with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
I don't know, Tony. No, life just fucking sucks. It's just too hard.
I hate those days.
No, let's try that one over.
Okay. Tony and Carol, here's with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
Oh my God. I have been so excited to talk to you today.
I have been too.
I can't wait. I'm so excited to be doing this tonight. Awesome. How's that?
It's the same like sincerity. It's the same sincerity you have when you're at the car dealership. Oh my gosh, this is so great. There's free hot dogs. There's balloons for the kids. Holy shit. And look at this. Every salesman in the building has run in front of the general public to get in the lunch line. And oh my God, you see Steve over there? Steve is using his hand to scoop beans into his bowl. Oh my gosh, look at that. I don't know how he does. Oh, he has a prosthetic. Oh, I didn't realize he had a prosthetic, so it doesn't burn his hands then. Look at that. What an amazing thing. Coming out and see us at Big Dildo Kia. Big Dildo Kia here on the highway. You want to come check us out. We got some great specials this week. 0% APR. If you're qualified, which means you have to suck the dick of the manager. But that's this weekend only.
And I'm Big Dick good Kia. Luck with that.
Yeah, that's kind of how it worked. We had some car dealers that we worked with that were kind of along those lines. It's kind of like, oh my God. I didn't mean to like even sniff there either, because I think that was probably part of it too, where it's like some car dealers get excited. You're just kind of like, what the fuck?
It's like, so come on out and see us.
You just bid your time. Like, hey, you got anything free? No, our station doesn't do any of that. You're like the number one station. You have like the highest ratings in the market. Like you make the most. Yeah, I know. Like my uncle pays $200 a spot on your station.
We don't.
Do you have any t-shirts? I have like extra small from like 1987 and it's talking about the Pepsi challenge.
And really that's any radio station across the country. We ain't got money. We don't have any money.
100%. And I think a raccoon might have peed on it because we had a raccoon problem at one time in the attic. Not even kidding. There was one day. Then this is the last of some radio talk, but it's always fun reliving the memories. The magical times where I was in the studio and the ceiling tiles were rattling. And you could see it like, it was like tremors. I felt like Reba McEntire on the original Tremors. And you see, like, it just, and it just runs across. And you see the tiles just rattling all the way down the hall and then rattling all the way back. And it was kind of scary because I felt like something was going to, like, somehow fall on me.
Because it's demonic. Of course it's demonic. What else could it be?
It was a raccoon or a family thereof, which went into the attic after that with a flashlight. And I saw eyes. I saw. And I saw many eyes. I went back in some of those kind of closety rooms off to the way back side.
Mm-hmm.
Very narrow, very long, very dark. And showing the flashlight, like, way back in the corner, and there's eyes looking back, and I'm like, I'm not going down there because they're cornered, and I'm not gonna. I just got the fuck out of there. Which in turn, I grabbed a couple of those 1987 concert tees, and then we patched them out at the next live broadcast. And
there's some cool stuff up there, though.
There really was. There was a lot of. I love
memorabilia and albums. Yeah. Oh my God. Thousands and thousands.
Yeah. The albums are cool. I wonder what they're probably all still up there, aren't they?
They're all, I'm sure.
Until the station goes bankrupt, goes off the air, and then there's an auction and they just sell everything out of that building. Which will eventually happen. Let's go to our first story of today's episode. After receiving complaints from apartment building neighbors, police discover three body parts in luggage. A wellness check at a 22-year-old woman's apartment this week reportedly led police to the discovery of human remains inside two bags of luggage. On Wednesday, September 21st, NYPD police reportedly went to an apartment on Linwood Street on Brooklyn Cypress Hills neighborhood and discovered the remains in luggage. Based on the reports from WABC-TV, the residents of the building were alarmed when they did not see the 22-year-old woman for many days and kind of started, what the fuck is that going through the ventilation system here? A foul odor coming from her flat. According to reports, concerned neighbors alerted the security guard who made the initial attempt to gain access to the sixth-floor apartment, but the woman's boyfriend allegedly blocked the entrance, so the guard couldn't help. According to the security guard's complaint to the police, he watched the boyfriend and another man leave the building without paying the exit fee. According to WABC, the guard returned to the apartment's upper floor and discovered a butcher cleaver and the bags in the blood-splattered room. Oh my God. So they went, like, all out, like, totally, like, if you're deciding you're going to do this shit, at some point, I guess if you've never done it, you'd probably be guessing, well, how do you do it? So are they thinking, like, from their movies that they've seen growing up, going, butcher cleaver. So do you, like, go to, like, the kitchen store? You go over to William Sonoba. I need a good butcher cleaver. What's this for? You going to be doing a roast? Or, no, I'm going to be murdering my girlfriend. But will this go through bone pretty well? It will. Would you like to check out some of our new Christmas Kringle fudge? We have some of it at the register. Oh, I'd love that. And did you mention you were killing your girlfriend? Yeah, I did. So you're going to be single soon then too, right? I am. Well, you have to check out the new seasoning pack that we have. You can blow away those new women that are going to be coming to you when they learn just what a badass you are for murdering your girlfriend. Oh my God, I have to try that. Here, try this. Try the coffee. Isn't it amazing? Oh, you got to love. Oh, so good. That's how that goes at the.
So weird.
At the Williams Sonoma. WABC reports that investigators from the NYPD are on the lookout for the boyfriend. Reportedly, the 22-year-old woman had an order of protection against her boyfriend until the end of the month.
Oh, my God.
Because those orders of protection.
Because that piece of paper is going to help you a lot.
Holy shit, that keeps psychos away. If you want to scare someone who's mentally ill or psychotic, you go get yourself this badass piece of paper that this guy in this robe signs, and he'll be like, shit, that guy in that robe signed that shit. I ain't going to kill you now. Thank God you got that piece of paper. That totally changes my mind. We're good. We're all good. Can I like send you some Grubhub or something to make up for it? Yeah. No. Yeah. Anyway, according to WPIX, the medical examiner is still looking into the death. The victim's identity has not been released. So there you go.
You know, that's just so sad because really when somebody is when you get to that point that you even ask for a protective order, mm-hmm. Against somebody, you're out of resources. You know, tried talking to them, you've done everything, and it's sad. That's all you have at your disposal. So yeah, they can't be near you. They have to be so far away.
But what's preventing?
There's ambushed nothing, by them.
There's nothing preventing it. It's like, and if you're that close already, nobody's going to get to you quick enough.
Exactly.
It's insane. I almost like feel like if you're going to have like a protective order against somebody, and maybe this is something that we have in today's society. We could do something of this nature where if there's a protective order for 6 months or something, guess what? The guy who has to have the protective order has to wear some sort of band or some sort of patch or something.
Or what if, you know, with technology today, I got a protective order against you.
Mm-hmm.
GPS necklace.
Yeah.
And you've got to wear that GPS bracelet. And your bracelet can't get near my necklace.
I like that. We should have done that when we had the protective order against each other.
I know, but we didn't even think about it. That was like so long ago.
I know. That was so long ago.
I just had
the
piece of paper.
And I'm so sorry that I showed up at your window with the pitchfork that one night singing the greatest hits of Michael Jackson. That was
I know, but I felt better that it wasn't a machete, because something about a pitchfork just seems less threatening.
It just felt right.
Because I'm like, is he going to kill me, or is he just going to go pick up some hay bales with that?
I was just trying to have a good laugh on an autumn night.
And it's like, no, what, Carol? I'm just here to pick up hay bales. Okay.
There's going to be somebody that's like, did you guys really have a protection order against each other?
No. There was no one.
Completely made that up.
But you know what I mean? It's like with technology today, it's not like, here's a piece of paper. It's like, yeah, here's a GPS tracker, motherfucker.
I like that. And both have to do it, because it's not just one person. And I think it also like kind of weeds out the people who are not serious about it, who are making shit up, where, okay, well, you're going to do this, then you have to wear this too, and they're going to wear that. And if we notice an abnormality in this, like it's not moving.
Or
here's the deal.
But
they could take it off.
You do like what my mom does. She's got one of those that you just hit the thing and it calls 911. So if you hit the thing and you call 911 from your GPS tracker jewelry.
Life alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like you could do that. They're set up like that.
Yeah.
And so to me, the technology's there. Why not, instead of a piece of paper, put a tracker on him and I'm going to wear this and that guy can't be within 100 feet of me.
Because it's much more effective with a piece of paper. And if you have any objections, you can fax us a rebuttal.
And then we can say, what? We never got a fax from you.
We didn't get that.
We've been trying to fax you.
We didn't see that. I got a letter today from my doctor's office going, you had an appointment for late October. We've been trying to reach you to confirm it, but we've rescheduled it. I'm like, huh? It's like 4 weeks from now. You've been trying to reach me. No one's called me.
Wow.
So like, okay, cool. Like, I don't know. I just, whatever. But yeah, you have to hold everyone's hand. The manager at a Planet Fitness is accused of filming a man in a tanning booth while he is undressed. 23-year-old manager at Planet Fitness was detained on charges of recording a nude guy in a tent.
It doesn't look good on your job resume. Like, why did you leave your last job?
Well, I was recording. I wanted to get some dick pics. And I
worked at Planet Fitness, for Christ's sake. And I'd be like, okay.
Because there's such a shortage of them on the internets. And I couldn't find any way to look at genitalia of any way, shape, or form, or any size, shape, flavor, or origin online. So I felt I really needed to get something exclusive at the Planet Fitness. After receiving a complaint on June 30th that a victim had been filmed at the Planet Fitness at 1188 New Haven Road in Naugatuck, the Naugatuck Police Department issued a press release detailing the case. When the unclothed victim left the tanning booth, he saw a man hanging near the ceiling with the telephone, he informed officials. I don't think that makes any sense. He saw a man hanging from the ceiling with a telephone. Or maybe a telephone hanging from the ceiling. Police stated that they tracked down the culprit, and he is now known to be Jordan Hill. Authorities said that Hill turned himself in at the Naugatuck Police Department in September around 9:30 a.m. on the 20th in response to an outstanding arrest warrant. Reportedly, he was taken into custody and charged with criminal attempt and voyeurism. Is voyeurism a charge?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if it was like actually technically a charge.
No, it is.
Okay.
That would be the like the peeping Tom.
Okay. I didn't know that voyeurism was like the word that they used in the charge.
Peeking in somebody's windows, that's what they would charge you with.
According to the police, Hill posted a $20,000 bond and was ordered to appear in court on October 19th. WFSB acquired the statement from Planet Fitness in which they said, "At Planet Fitness, the safety and privacy of our members and guests is our first priority."
What do they mean by members?
I don't know. We need...
like his member. Like his penis. Like
what do they mean by members?
You know, sometimes you call a penis a member. Like
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. That is just funny.
Yes.
Not really, I guess.
Let's... I think I need to read this.
But they were talking about the privacy of the members.
Yeah.
Okay. Get it from there.
Here we go. Let's get it like a fitness advertisement. Here we go. Dun, 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 dun. At Planet Fitness, the safety and privacy of our members and guests is our first priority. And we can confirm the franchise owner is cooperating directly with the local authorities and their investigations on this event. Right now, if you go to our bar, we will get you a smoothie with an extra banana if you use the password extra dick. That's right. Say extra dick at the smoothie bar and we'll put an extra banana in your smoothie. It's only at Genesis House Clubs. I mean Planet Fitness.
So, like, for Planet Fitness, this is, like, your worst nightmare as a company, a franchisee, or I don't know if they're franchisees or not. But you know what I mean? It's like, that's really, really bad publicity.
Yeah.
And what do you do? I mean, you can fire the guy, but he's still the guy taking pictures of guys in the tanning bed.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like people in your town are like, well, I don't want to go to Planet Fitness anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible
they
publicity.
Take dick pics.
Yeah. I think it's probably going to be done in that town. It's not going to really probably do much to it nationwide. But
no, but it's just a bad PR thing.
Well, it's amusing.
Well, because nationwide, we're talking about it.
We like, are. But
other
the
people
thing
are talking about
but
it.
But people are so dumb today. That things don't.
How dumb are they?
Very dumb. I mean, years ago, the Chili's franchise, the world of Chi-Chi's got shut down because one restaurant in like upstate New York had a poisonous onion and one person died. And then suddenly every fucking Chi-Chi's in the country closed down. People used to really freak out about stuff. Today, it just seems so muted. It seems like if somebody says something is horrible or bad, it's very relegated to the community that trusts that individual. And if they don't, half the world's like, that's bullshit. That's fucking stupid. That's crazy. It's like, oh, but look, it's in these like actual documents of like possible divorce proceedings that she was fucking around with the yoga, the person and another person over there. That's bullshit. It's lies. It's completely fake. I'm not going to say who that's about.
Well, that's like everything in the world.
Yeah.
Fake news. Fake news.
Fake. It's fake. It's like, you can't just say that. It's just. And
we have no way to prove anything's fake. If you can't prove to me it's true. And it's like, no. Here's like this National Geographic photo.
If anybody.
Fake, it's fake.
If I don't care what party you're part of or anything. If you're adamantly like on something, it's fake. Like. But there's like clearly some question to it. You're immediately a red flag. I don't care what party we are talking about. every fucking one does it. And there's been a bunch on both sides. And I don't trust anybody anymore. But there's so much of that bullshit. There was something interesting I wanted to talk about with the idea of being in a fitness complex. And as we often do on this program, we like to reflect back to older days of our lives. And broadcasting live, there's a certain fitness club that we used to go to. I won't say its name. But there was a time when I was at one of those broadcasts, and there was the request for lunch to be made. So lunch was brought in. Lunch was brought in from a relative that of the fitness club that was being run. And the way that the person who was working at this fitness club devoured and talked about the sandwich that he was consuming kind of disturbed me. I was stuck.
I'm sorry that you had that experience.
So here's the deal. When you were doing these things, you were like locked in the office of the manager for like 2 or 3 hours. And then every 15 or 20 minutes or so, you went on the air and did a quick break. And you gave him the mic and you went back and forth. And then this guy normally just kind of sat in silence and did shit on his computer and just kind of sitting there like fumbling your thumbs. And he got a, I don't know what the fuck it was called. It was like, they're big and juicy or something of that nature. And I'm like, oh, what'd you get? And of course, lunch was not offered to us as we were still sitting there, but we fed them. And he's like, oh, it's the big and juicy. And the way he changed his like whole demeanor of like being standoffish, he suddenly was talking about like he was having sex with the burger. And it was said like, it was like, I'm like, what do you have there? Like I was an idiot to not know he had the big and juicy. And oh god, the big and juicy. Oh my god. She just makes the best sandwiches over there. And he just starts chowing down on the big and juicy. I'm like, oh yeah, like I was fairly new to the area. I'm like, I've only been there a few times. He's like, oh my god. So you don't know like anything about it. I'm like, no, but I hear good things. Oh, it's big and juicy. And he's eating the sandwich and he's making sexual noises as he's eating the fucking sandwich. Then we had to go to the break.
Do you think that it was not so much about the sandwich that it was about you?
Was what do you mean? You? Oh, God. I didn't even think of that.
You know.
Now you make, is one of them. Is there something really? I'm missing here? Yeah.
I don't know. I have no
idea.
I don't know.
Obviously, I'm not. But I mean, but I never thought of it like that. If he was trying to hit on me and I just was completely missing the cues. I mean, that's fine. But I guess I was missing the cues. Although I could kind of give off that vibe, though, couldn't I?
I think so.
It's like, oh, I just got back from Gordman's. Look at all the stuff I bought for my house. Look at the decor theme I'm going for this week. Yeah, I get it. I understand. But I mean, that's why I'm a good girl dad.
But not that that's the case. But you know, sometimes people just do that to see.
Yeah.
No, how other people will react.
Make sexual noises while eating a hamburger?
Exactly.
I've never thought that as like a way to like try and figure out someone's personality. Like, let me have this here and go, oh, this is so good. Oh my God, the cheddar. Oh, extra pickle, spicy mayo. Oh. No, I don't know. It made me never want to be a member of that gym. I'll tell you that much. But I did enjoy the smoothie with the extra banana.
There you go.
Two women from Oklahoma have confessed to the murder of their former roommate after a dispute about food stamps. Well, that can happen. Following an argument over unreceived food assistance, a 30-year-old woman allegedly admitted to strangling and trying to set fire to a former roommate. Okay, what the fuck is this? Again, it's like, okay, we used to strangle. We used to just kill. Maybe hit somebody in the back of the head with a pan or something. What's this like? Let's set fire to them next. Why are we always like taking it to the next level? I don't understand that.
I don't have an answer, but continue with this story because, like, over food stamps?
Federal prosecutors in Oklahoma's Northern District said that the victim, Tracy Russell, allowed Jessica McBride and her boyfriend to stay in her home in exchange for financial support and food. It's been alleged, however, that the victim asked McBride and her boyfriend to leave the residence. On March 17th, 2019, McBride supposedly returned to the house and murdered Russell by strangling him. According to the Attorney General's office, McBride claimed that she and Russell got into an argument because McBride thought Russell had stolen her food stamps. Charges of theft have not yet been proven. According to reports, McBride tried to burn down Russell's house and dispose of his body by covering it with a blanket after he already died. The Attorney General's office claims that McBride and another person plotted to set the body and residence on fire again on March 20th of 19, but the other person informed the police instead. The Attorney General's office claims that later that night, an undercover investigator and the person who reported McBride rode in the suspect's car to Russell's residence. According to reports, McBride supplied the gas and lighter fluid for the campfire. According to the General's office, claims that McBride was arrested by police from the Tulsa Police Department. According to official records, McBride was taken into custody, placed in the Tulsa County Jail on suspicion of first-degree murder and arson. It was reported on Friday, September 23rd, that McBride entered a guilty plea to the charges against him. According to the U.S. Attorney, Clint Johnson, Jessica McBride lived at the home of a victim, and in return, she took her own life because of missing food stamps. I don't know if he said it like that, but that's how I'm interpreting.
Could have been.
Could have been something of that nature. So, like, yeah.
That shit's just crazy.
It is.
Why? And, you know, makes me think there's alcohol involved. Meth. Or.
Well, we're
drugs
talking.
Drugs are involved, but it's like.
We're talking about Tulsa here. And
which actually is a pretty nice town.
I enjoy Tulsa. I do. It's a very short drive from here and I go there quite frequently and I do like their airport quite a bit. There's a good portion of the town that needs a lot of help.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, I mean, you know, honestly, every city has those people. Every city
sure,
has
without a
people
doubt.
Like that. But You know, and this guy's probably like could use the help. You know, if you moved in, then you could help me with some rent and some food because you're on food stamps.
Yeah.
Although I don't think food stamps are a thing these days. You got the vision card or whatever
card,
you call
yeah.
it. And you know, so, you know, maybe he just thought he's helping somebody and it would help him out in return, which I get. Like there's a lot of people, you know, who.
Yeah.
Don't have the money they need.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, you're getting food assistance. Wait a month, you'll get some more. Like how much really could the guy have taken? You know, they might get $300 a month.
I don't
food.
Care if he took all of it. Is it ever worth it to kill somebody? Where guess
exactly.
what? Now your whole life is gone. And if you're trying to take care of your kids, now they're in God knows where they're going.
Foster care.
And you have no control and you're behind bars. Was that worth it? Did that make long-term sense? There's a very large disconnect in our country and in thinking in general of long-term thinking. It's something we don't really, I don't know if we're not really talking about it, if we're not really like expressing this to children as far as this is something you should develop and think about and try and work on. But everything's so in the moment now, it seems where it's, I feel this way right now, and this is my truth, and this is it, and that's that. Okay, well, let's think maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. How is this truth of yours going to work out? Mm-hmm. And how is that going to play into, like, an adult life of, like, caring for yourself or feeding yourself? Or
see, I think these people don't even think about
they
that
They don't.
Stuff.
Because we've also enabled so much of it as well, where it's just, well, if you don't want to, then you really don't have to. If you're satisfied at living at this kind of shitty level, but kind of, you know, there's a way you can kind of get by with it if you're crafty enough. And you can still get the Doritos. You have to get the generics. There's a lot of people that are like, I'm good with that. I'm cool with living at this level of okayness. And I think it's just, honestly, it's because of generations now where that's all they knew. They don't know anything better. So why would this be anything that's needs to change? And we like to villainize people who are successful or put extra effort into something. And once they become successful, then we have to find some way to tear that down and say, well, it's because of this or because they gypped the system somehow this way. It's like, no, some people just got off their ass and really did some stuff. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it's this very victimized society that we have where we all like to, you know, be victims.
And in this case, it could just be as simple as he might not even taken it.
Exactly.
They could have been high as a kite or drunk have and lost their vision card or whatever.
Have we even looked at that?
And then accused him of it. And instead of like talking it through it rationally, they just, that's that.
No, exactly. We didn't even look at that. Like,
and they're probably drunk when they are high when they confronted him.
Did we? It was a friend over or friends, because tend to have that going on kind of in scenes like that. Like, oh yeah, come on over. And somebody's like everybody's drunk. Like, I'm going to look around here and see what the fuck I can steal. That tends to happen in situations of that nature. Here's another one of those loving family stories. You know, when you think about your relatives, your aunts, your uncles, a lot of times we have these fuzzy memories. I have one, actually. It's not necessarily fuzzy, but it's a thank God she was there memory of I was in a lake up in Black River Falls, Wisconsin. Technically, Hatfield is what it was called. It's a small little thing in northern Wisconsin, which is where my grandmother was from. And we go up there in winter, or now in summer, rather, and visit relatives and such. And there's a big lake, swimming holes, and it was a lot of fun. But the lake and the beach there, it's like, oh, beach, 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 beach. And you walk down to the water just a little bit, and it's like, phew, it's a cliff. It goes straight down. And it's all sand, so it's really hard to tell. And I was about 3, and I was out in the water, and all of a sudden, boop, Tony disappeared. And my Aunt Holly caught it, and she jumped out there, and she got me. And I survived, obviously, and I had near-death experiences, and now I see ghosts. No, that's not part of it. But I didn't know about this, because I have no memory, really, of it. But I did see just how steep a drop it was when I was an adult and the dam broke there and the whole lake emptied. And it was like, oh my God, that was a drop that I...
That's terrifying.
And a lot of times you have relatives that are there for you. And you know, they're going to, if you have a niece or a nephew or something, you're going to treat them like your own kid. You're going to jump in front of that train. You're going to jump into the water, do whatever you fucking need to do, because they're your next jump, you know, next of kin, if you will. And you're the adult and you're going to save them before you. Now, this woman did kind of the opposite. She's accused of trying to murder her nephew by forcing him into Lake Michigan. She's now facing a few charges. They said, you know, that outing over by the water didn't work out so well, though, did it? A lady has been arrested and charged with pushing her 3-year-old nephew into Lake Michigan. He's still on life support. The incident occurred September 19th at 1 p.m. when the victim fell into the water from the north side of the world-famous Chicago Navy Pier. That's a high-up pier. According to reports, the toddler was rescued from the water and taken to Lurie Children's Hospital. Fuck. You been to Navy Pier?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
Victoria Marino, the victim's aunt, was apprehended later that day in the 700 block of East Grand Avenue, according to a press statement from the Chicago Police Department. WGN-TV states that the surveillance footage from the Navy Pier appears to show Marino shoving the youngster off the pier into the lake. On the day of the event, the victim was supposedly being cared for by his grandmother, and while she was changing, Marino allegedly brought him to Navy Pier. When the youngster was rescued from the water, he had gone into cardiac arrest. WGN reports that he is still being kept alive using artificial means. According to police, Marino has been charged with aggravated battery on the child under the age of 13 that resulted in permanent disability and attempted first-degree murder. It's been reported that she has been denied bail, thank God, and forbidden from having any contact with the victim, witness, or their families. On September 30th, Marina will be making her appearance in court. The administration of Navy Pier said in a statement obtained by WGN, the unfathomable tragedy has left a deep impression of sadness on Navy Pier. The security of her visitors is the top priority. We'll work hard to keep them safe. Over 500 cameras monitor the pier and store footage for further review. The Chicago Police Department was able to use up-to-the-moment evidence because of the innovation. This event, which involves a small boy, was a unique incident, according to the statement, and authorities are still looking into it.
And there's no indication of why she did that.
Well, we don't know yet anyway.
Because you probably tried to initially pull it off or pass it off as an accident, my guess.
Yeah.
And then they reviewed the footage and they're like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Why? And he's three. How could you do that? And it's her nephew.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I mean, what?
It just really bothers me.
Oh, this is sad. He died. A three-year-old boy has died after he was pushed off Navy Pier by his aunts, according to the Cook County Medical Examiner. This is from CBS. The boy, whose prosecutors identified as Josiah Brown, suffered cardiac arrest and severe brain damage after being under the water for 30 minutes. Prosecutors say his aunt, 34-year-old Victoria Moreno of Des Plaines, Illinois, was seen on surveillance video pushing him into the lake. She was charged with attempted first-degree murder and aggravated battery.
So they're there on vacation.
They're a little bit of ways away.
Des Plaines, which is really weird. I don't know why they call it Des Plaines. But that's a ways out of Chicago. I mean, it's really close, but... You know, they were there for at least the day.
Cook County Circuit Court Judge Suzanne Ories denied bail for Marano during a Wednesday bond hearing, despite defense arguments that she suffers from mental issues. Well, isn't that special?
I'm
really sick of that being the defense for everything. And it may be the case, but I really don't fucking care anymore.
But it's the only thing that makes sense. And if you want this to make sense.
Well, it does make sense. But why? But okay, we got that answer.
But it doesn't make anything better.
Doesn't make anything
better.
It
doesn't make sense of it. It's like.
And why can't we get rid of these people?
Child.
If you're doing this, you have mental issues. Great. You did this. I'm sorry. You're no longer.
You still got to pay for it. You still got to go to jail. There's no.
Why even jail? You did this. Let's just get rid of you. There's no benefit to society anymore. It's the humane thing. I mean, fuck, we do this with animals. We do this with animals and we go, it's the humane thing to do. There's something wrong with them. There's really something wrong. It's the best thing for them. But we don't do it with people that are like really fucking deranged and crazy and out there to hurt others with no remorse. Maybe there is a part of them that really does feel horrible after they do these things, but we keep like going, yeah, you just keep living. Keep fucking around, doing something horrible. And why can't we just say the humane thing at some point with people like this is let's just let them go from this land because there's no point.
I mean, bad idea because... And I'll tell you why. It's just like, look at how many people are in prison right now for crimes they didn't commit. And that happens every day.
Well, let's make it, there needs to be something where it's very definitive. This is pretty fucking cut and dry.
Well, I mean, we have the death penalty. So really, you should, it's not in every state.
Exactly.
That you should you know, that's where you got to like, it's not the topic of the day right now, but, you know, now you can get the death penalty and sit on death row for 30 years. I mean, it's just
that's what happens. Most of them die by natural causes before they actually die for their crimes. And sometimes their victims die before them. I can't speak to this woman.
I don't know. I think what she did was horrific. Mm-hmm. Absolutely horrific. She might have serious mental health issues. And, you know, I think that's a sad situation. Now, let me finish this part.
Yeah.
If she does have serious mental health issues, why did she have the little boy on Navy Pier?
Yes.
Where were the other people?
Why did Grandma say, oh, yeah, you can keep watching her. She, even though you have serious mental health issues, you go take him down by the pier, by that real deep end. I'm sure you'll be good.
And you have to take the train into Chicago.
Yep.
You know, because it's not like just a little quick bus ride over there.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions.
It's not far away from Chicago, but, you know, it's like,
you take the L, it's not far.
But it's a ways out. I think you got to actually take the Amtrak.
Well, you might.
There's a lot of questions in this one. Like, why did she have him? Were there other people, or did she just have him and take him? None of it makes sense. I mean, as if anything like that we could ever, even if we know the whole picture, it's never going to make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just horrific. I feel really bad for his.
Here's some more insight into what actually happened. Shortly after noon, she parked at Navy Pier.
I don't know if I can hear it. Entered
the McDonald's to order food. I've been to that McDonald's. Getting a Happy Meal for Josiah. Monroe eventually took the boy to the pier where chains are located on posts to keep people away from the water. The boy crawled under the chains, got to the edge of the platform when no one was present. Monroe let the boy crawl towards the edge of the pier. She climbed over the chains, straddled him, and pushed him into the lake, prosecutors alleged. Monroe sat and stared into the water as the child was drowning, prosecutors alleged. All the events were caught on surveillance cameras. So it's not even an allegation. It's on fucking camera. It's not an allegation. It happened. Two people heard the child hit the water and saw Moreno crouching by the platform. They asked what happened to the boy, and she said, nothing. But later claimed she did not know the boy. Two witnesses called police and got a life ring, but several minutes after the boy was pushed, he sunk under the water. The red flags were there, King said. She was acting very weird. I did end up telling the officer. I said, listen, she was the only one here when we got here. She's been acting off and weird. I just don't know if she's off. Something's not right. Monroe did not ask for help and pretended not to know the child when questioned by police. Prosecutors said the boy was retrieved by Chicago Fire Department personnel at the bottom of the lake about 30 minutes after he fell. The boy went into cardiac arrest and was rushed to Laurel Children's Hospital in very critical condition. The family created a GoFundMe originally for the boy's medical expenses. And that's where that's at.
What's that? That's just really, really, really sad.
Yeah, completely.
And senseless and still a lot of questions like why? It just makes no sense. And why did she have him? And where were the other people?
Is it weird of me to say, okay, this happened just the other day. We got the GoFundMe rocking already? I mean, I don't know. I mean, is that...
No, I think that's pretty common, I see that all the time.
But it also... Here's where, and I'm not in any way saying that they're doing this, but I'm saying this could be a great way to make a shitload of money if you're an evil human being. If you're an evil human being... And you somehow set up something where your child dies in some horrific accident and you are an evil human being and you are looked at as the victim, and clearly she's not looked at as the victim, but obviously the rest of the family is. And again, not saying this is going on here, but isn't this a great way to make a ton of money too, where it's like, oh, things aren't going so well. And if you're evil, you could pull this off and people will feel bad for you. I don't know. I get weirded out when the GoFundMes pop up like within 24, 48 hours of the crime.
I see it a lot. And a lot of times, you know, like, because a lot of times the GoFundMes are started by a friend of the family.
And I get that when it's not like always that.
The family.
When it's like so that, yeah. But
it could be a friend of the family started the GoFundMe because, you know, they don't have insurance and
that's
the
where kids I
in
know.
The hospital and what are we going to do?
That's where I want to know how it was set up, who it was set up by.
And it should say on the GoFundMe, usually it says who set it. It always says who set it up.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of fraud in that area. Not everyone.
Absolutely. But. No, I've donated to GoFundMes myself that were totally bogus.
Really?
That I believed. Yeah.
What did you
get? It's not a GoFundMe. It's just somebody lied.
Yeah.
And said something.
Was it the
like,
one?
Oh my God, that's so sad.
Was it the one where the kittens were dying of leukemia and you had to do the ear transplant where they would give the ears back to the kittens so they could hear?
My God, that's totally something I would do. I'm like, oh, the kittens.
All it takes is 7 easy payments of $39.95.
And I'm like, but I only have $15, but I'll give it to you.
7 easy payments spread over the next 36 months of $39.95. And you will help those kittens get their ears back. They may still die of the leukemia, but
they'll have ears. And I'd be like, that's better.
Their ears will be saved. And you will be a savior for those kittens.
That's what I signed up for. I'd be like, absolutely.
Your
help them babies.
Life. And we'll all celebrate that you have saved the kittens from their ears. Being lost
their
forever.
Ears.
Oh, what a feeling. Saving kitten ears from falling. Ooh, yeah. That sort of thing. You just gotta, you know, I don't know how I get from point A to point B, but somehow it happens. That's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. We could not do this thing without you. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the program, and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for all of us at True Crime Today, Tony Bruschi, thanks for listening.
True Crime Today. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our full episodes, breaking news updates, and daily briefs from True Crime Today.